Good morning. What an amazing God we serve. He's so good to us. He truly deserves all the glory and the praise and the honor. We can't praise Him enough. We just find a stopping point, but we should always continue to praise Him and worship Him. He said, "They that worship me must worship me in spirit," so you're not restricted. You're not restricted because we stop the music and I'm going to be speaking. There's no restriction there. You constantly can praise Him. He said, "They that worship me in spirit and in truth." And so as we were stopping, I was thinking about these thoughts. And I can sense and feel in the hearts of God's people here, this word, just want to praise Him. You don't have to stop. You keep on praising Him. We're not going to, there's no restriction to the presence of God. He said, quench not the spirit. So what do? You just let, you continue. You praise Him. When you hear the words of Jesus, you ought to praise Him. If Jesus says something, we ought to all be shouting about what He said. That's what's going to keep us. Now, the rest of the stuff we're thankful for. We're thankful that it feels, listen, every other apostle, that all the apostles that come after Jesus, all their job was is to fill in the blanks. How many other stories have been written by God? Through the words of Jesus. If you look at the Word of God, and I've been going over this, over and over these scriptures. If you look at the words of Jesus, that's the script. And there's things that have to be filled in. And that's what they've done. They just filled them in. And so if we can never take anybody else's word over what Jesus said. Everything has to be defined by what Jesus said. So if anything is said that contradicts Jesus, what He said, we need to go back and research it. More than likely, and we found this to be a fact, that what you do find is translator bias a lot of times. And I never even thought about these terms when I was first in the ministry. Because I would, as far as I was concerned, what I knew about God, you'd had to be out your mind to go and fool with God's word. That's how I saw it. Nobody would do it. But how many there were people out their mind? There'd been people out their mind for a long time. And that's why we have to be so cautious in the word of God. They'll try to change everything about what God says. Look at our world today. It's crazy what's right now. And it's crazy what's wrong. You know, it's almost a crime in America. We're so close to be a Christian. Yes, that's true. But you can be everything else. And it's legal. And they'll put colorful flags for you. They'll rainbow you. It's absolutely crazy. So we're going to stick with the words of Jesus. I mean, that's what's going to keep you. And when you're going to be tried, everybody here, you're going to go through the testing and trials. And you're going to have to, I was telling Brother Josh this morning, the only thing we got is your love for God in your heart. Everything else can be taken from you. And you need to know that. You lose the love of God in your heart, you've lost everything. Because I told Brother Josh, we're so right on the verge where if they want, they can come get your children from you and it'll be legal. Do you understand that? That's absolutely crazy. Yes. All you are is a caretaker. That's how the system works now. You care for them, but if we decide what they're going to be and want to do, we're going to give them all their rights. And their rights have nothing to do with God. But all their rights except for their right to live for God. We don't acknowledge that. So the only thing you have is the love for God in your heart. That's why He said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your might, and with all of your strength." Because everything in this life can be taken from you but that. The God that got led by His hand to the stake to be burned wouldn't give that up. He wouldn't give it up. They burned His clothes off His body, then His skin went next. Then of every flesh down to His bone till He became a pile of ash. But they can't touch what's in your heart. Your love toward God can't be burned. I want that kind of passion. And there have been many a men and women who had that same passion before we came along. And we owe it to him to keep the legacy going, that there's a God that's alive and well and powerful, and what he says goes, and we ought to proclaim him as many chances as we get. We ought to give him glory and praise and honor. And then you never know your opportunity. You take whatever God gives you and just give him praise. But we've been in this talking about the things Jesus says. And I tell you what, I don't know how you're going to, I don't know how we're going to finish this in a year. You know, you think you start going on it and you go, okay, we'll get this done in a couple of months. We'll be ready to go. But you're talking about the words of Jesus. And you know, once you slow down and start looking at what Jesus said, let me tell you, it takes a lot of your time up to just study what he said. Just the things that Jesus said. But right now, what we're going to start on is the Sermon on the Mount. What in the scene set, Jesus sees the crowd gathering. And so it's called the Sermon on the Mount for a reason. He was up on the side of this mountain, and the people were gathered, and he begins to speak. So we'll deal with that. It's called the Beatitudes. We're going to look at that. We're going to look at the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes is a reference attached to blessed, the word blessed or happy. Those two words are what defines this word beatitude, happy or blessed. We're going to look at the admonitions. This is going to, again, this is a big title, and I'm going to break it all down. This covers a lot. This is one, you know, 48 verses. And we're not going through 48 verses this morning. I'm hoping to get through three of them. Three or four, maybe. Maybe not that many. I don't know. Because we're gonna, I want you to see how powerful this message is. Now, you gotta understand, we've been covering from in a chronological order, best I can tell, the things Jesus said. And now this is a critical, this is a pivotal point of when he starts to preach. This is a Sermon on the Mount, his sermon, Jesus' message. Now, he said a lot of things before this, but they were said here and there. And then to disciples by themselves and maybe to some individuals by themselves. But this is a sermon. This is the gathering of the crowd of people. And he starts to speak to them. Now, these crowds that were gathered in this particular time, these were a lot of the followers that had come. And a lot of the people who came in this particular sermon here were those who just came to see what the crowd was there for. So they were a mixed group. But there were a lot of followers. And we know that by the way Jesus speaks, because he starts to address followers first. When he starts to speak, he's addressing followers. Now, the people who hear what's being said, the residual effect from what's told to followers is to push you up in the direction to let those things that he spoke over the followers can be evident in your life also. And this is important for all of us to understand, and it's critical. So I want you to just think about us taking our time going through this, because it's going to take some time to deal with this. So Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 through 48 would be the text that we're going to look at. Number one, Sermon on the Mount, the core values of the kingdom. I believe that that's what it's directing. That's what it's saying, that he's given us the core values of the kingdom. Now, how many of you know when I'm talking about the kingdom, I'm not talking about heaven? How many is clear with that? If you're not, I want to make sure that you're clear when I make this statement. When I talk about the kingdom of God, I'm not speaking of heaven. Heaven like it is right now. There's a heaven. Heaven's a real place, and it's where we make our direction to the Father. Where's the Father? In heaven. Now, is he restricted to heaven?
Yes.
He can't be restricted to heaven simply because he's everywhere at all times, because God is spirit. He's omnipresent. How many get that? But we know that he tells we have to direct our prayer, because Jesus said that's where the Father was. So we say that. It's a heavenly place. It's a place. Now, where's Jesus at? He's in heaven at the right hand. Right? Now, if the Bible says that God has a right hand, who else here Thursday night understand that term now, right? Right? If you, Thursday night, I broke that thing down for you when it talks about the finger of God. And people say, well, God ain't got no body. You know, he's a spirit. Well, we're not going to argue with that because Jesus said God is a spirit. Who's going to argue with Jesus? But when he talks about his finger or his right hand, then what is he referring to? God has a face, it says. They do behold his face. Think about that. So what is he talking? It's how he interacts with the human race. His spirit interacts with us. So my body right now, my body is interacting with you. How many see this hand? What hand am I waving? My left or my right? What hand am I waving now? What leg do I have up? What leg do I have up now? Now, did I tell you those answers? You saw me. That's how I interact with you. You saw my body make a function. You knew the answer without me telling you. Do you know the Holy Spirit functions that way? And you'll know the answer. That's how you have to view the Spirit of God. It's God's way to interact with us. And so when it says the finger of God or the Spirit of God, does it mean the same thing? Yes, we talked about that Thursday night. So that's important. And that's valuable for us to understand as we go through this. So when we're dealing with this, the Sermon on the Mount is the core values of the kingdom. The kingdom of God, I'm not speaking of heaven. I'm not speaking of heaven, because the core values that he's teaching us about now is not something that once we get to heaven, we're going to have to live out so we can show somebody who's in heaven how to live. So what are they for? They're for now and for a future event of a group of people who will love the Lord their God, walk on this green grass, put your feet in these cool streams, and look up to the blue skies with a bright sun shining. Are you understanding? And a brisk wind blowing and declare that he's God and we can live for him and never fail him in our worship to him. That's what God desires. How are we going to do that? We got to listen to the words of Jesus. He gives us the message. He tells us what to do. This is what this sermon is going to be about. This is what it's the core values. He's telling you, if you do these things, you're getting ready for the kingdom. What is the kingdom? We sang the song a while ago. And we'll get on that. It actually is involved in this whole message here when he says, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, does heaven need to get these characteristics and traits? They already got it. We don't have a problem in heaven. I mean, no, there's not a problem in heaven. Where the problem's at is here. And that's where he sends a Savior to tell us, hey, do what I'm doing. Live like I live. Love God like I love God. He loved God so much they took him to the cross and crucified him, and he never would renounce God, because you can beat him, you can put a crown of thorn on his head, you can spit on him, you can pluck his beard out. Do you understand that? You can urinate on him, throw feces on him, take all his clothes off, expose him naked before the world, but you can't touch his love for God. Can't touch it. He loves God. And so what God says, I'm going to honor my son now. Never been a man on the planet ever did what Jesus did. Do you understand that? Never been a man on the planet did what he did. Everyone that was great, they were great men before Jesus, but all of them sinned. All fell short of the glory. But Jesus went through it all, and he never sinned. Never fell short of the glory. So God had but one thing to do. I'm going to glorify my son. I'm going to raise him from the dead, set him at my own right hand. I'm going to give him authority above everything. In his throne, there'll be no end to his throne. It was prophesied. There'll be no end to his throne. And he said, I'm going to get as many who want. Whoever wants to live with him forever and ever and ever on this planet we call Earth that will be renewed. Amen. You can. Who wants to? Don't. I know some people say, I don't want to live here. I guess we don't. Grass grows. Mud holes. Not to mention all the rest of the stuff that goes on. But all that's going to end. It's going to be glorious. Everything that you're passionate about and love, that's within the parameters of what I'm going to tell you today, it's all going to be more than you can handle. Overwhelmed with it. And everything you can do in life, how many like there's certain things you like to do? If you had to think, I want you to think about one thing that you really like. Like, I'll give you an example. Let's say I like duck hunting. I look forward to it every year. What would you think? What's your thought? Shopping, fishing, you know, whatever it is. What is it you're thinking about that you really like, that you're passionate about, that you like? There'll be no shortage of that. As long as what you like can't even come close to the love you have for the Father. Because if he knows that nothing that he, no matter how much he pours on you, it's good and you're enjoying it, but it can't come close to the love you have for him. He'll pour it on you more. He said, look, I give it all. Look, I'm just pouring it on them. And they love me more than that. So the more you love God, then the more he can trust you with. How many understand that? It's so important. And valuable. It's valuable for us to understand. So let's look at some of these points that I laid out here. I want you to see this. I refer to the Sermon on the Mount as the Constitution of God. Think about that. It's God's Constitution. How many know we have a Constitution? Oh, we had one. I don't know what we have. Who knows? Right? It started out like this, and that's a stack this tall amended. That's the truth now. I'm not making this stuff up. It's been amended over and over because whatever generation wants what they want, they leverage each other until they get what they want. They get a piece of paper in there, and it's just stuff on a piece of paper. And everybody goes around saying, yeah, I got what I wanted. I amended that thing. You know, they ain't going to do that on my generation. And everybody's changing constantly. Right now, there's, I don't know how many cases of constitutional changes right now. Crazy. How many know God's got a constitution? He's never changed it. He never added one dot or tittle to it since he wrote it. Not one. Same. Does that make anybody excited in here? That excites me. Because I'm not fooling with somebody who's changes and he's emotional. How many know God's not emotional? You wake up one day and he's happy and the next day he's sad. How many know God is constant? He's a constant God. He's not emotional. How many know we get emotional? One day we like something, the next day we don't. Sometimes men will say that about women. They got mood swings. That's the truth. They have a mood one time and have a mood another time. And you go, what in the world? I can't keep up. I'm trying. Anybody can tell maybe that's happened before? How many know God doesn't have mood swings? He doesn't. He's constant. He's the same. He never changes. He said, I'm the same yesterday, today, forever. I'm the same. Isn't that incredible? And so I want you to think about it. God has a constitution. The constitution of God's kingdom. In other words, these are the rules. This is what you're going to have to abide by to live in God's kingdom. And Jesus is telling, he's about to tell us in the Sermon on the Mountain. He's going to read the constitution. Is that helping anybody? Next time you read Blessed are the Poor in Spirit, maybe you'll get it in your head. This is not just, it's only words he can find. So he said, Blessed are the Poor in Spirit. This is not words he found. This is not words he thought of on the spot. This is stuff God sent to him by the Spirit. Do you understand? God sent them to him directly by the Spirit. Do you know that wasn't a written lecture he had? He didn't have PowerPoint. We fancy now. He didn't have none of this. He got it sent to him by the Spirit of God directly, the God's constitution. And that's what he began to describe. So I want you to see it that way. It is Jesus' most comprehensive statement about a believer's role in cooperating with the grace of God. And everybody knows our message on grace. I've done this series was it the beginning of the year? Going into this year. So within 2015, I did the grace effect. How many were here for that? So here, I want you to see this because this is important. It is Jesus' most comprehensive statement about a believer's role in cooperating with the grace of God. And it is the litmus test to accurately measure our spiritual development and ministry impact. How many know what a litmus test is? Give it the definition to the litmus test. So there you go. It's a chemistry term. A test to establish the acidity and alkalinity of a mixture. So you take litmus paper That's what they do. And the chemist takes litmus paper and he can test it. Is anybody taking chemistry in school? Am I speaking the truth about this? It's called litmus paper. And it'll turn a color. And that's how you measure it. You measure the acidity. But also is a critical indication of future success or failure. Because how many of you know if we got too much of something that we don't need, we can create a problem. And if we got less than we need, we can create a problem. So you got to have a litmus test so you make sure it's the right amount so later you don't create a problem. Is this helping anybody? So that's why we have this Sermon on the Mountain. It's not just any sermon. We're not talking about what Jesse Morris preaches. We're talking about what Jesus preached. We're talking about his words. And I want to know why he started with what he started with. If he could have went anywhere else and gave us any other word, why is he starting here? I'm telling you, it's just like a litmus. He says, this is critical. He said, it's a critical moment in your life. This is going to indicate your future success or failure. You're either going to be successful in the kingdom or you're going to fail to even get there. I mean, see that. You're going to be successful in the kingdom of God or fail to get there. Now, let me tell you, there's different levels of success. Some will be least successful and some will be great successful because there's different measures in the kingdom. But failure is not an option in the kingdom. So keep that in mind. So don't think, well, I got to be, you know, I'm just going to have to be the best. Well, there's great in the kingdom and less in the kingdom. The scripture says that. There's both of those. So that's the measure. That's different levels of success. And we know that in life. How many know there's different levels of success in life? There's no different in the kingdom of God. There's different levels of success. But let me tell you what's not an option. Failure. Because that's why it's critical, because it's an indication of a future success or a failure. And I don't want to end up in the failure part. Does anybody here want to end up in the failure? I wouldn't think so. So we don't want to do that. So we got to pay attention. And it takes time to set we got to really set a foundation before we start reading in Matthew 5. Because this is critical. Let me tell you, when I read it now, it does something different to me than it's ever done before. Because it makes me realize, okay, this is more important than I gave credit to. Well, that's nice. Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. That's nice. He just kept saying, blessed, 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 blessed. Blessed, blessed, blessed. Let me ask a question. How many Beatitudes are there? Somebody pop it out real quick without counting. You see the problem we got? You understand? This is the constitution of the kingdom. Do y'all understand my point? This is not to make anybody feel like you don't know what you're doing. I'm just telling you, this is critical. We're talking about the constitution from God about the kingdom, and we don't know how many there is. We ain't going to count them. But this is stuff we got to know. We got to know these things. They got to be important to us. Because you can see how the enemy would say, oh, that's great. And we get something. We read, you know, when you read the Word of God, you get something out of it. But I want to get more than just something out of it that just helps me for a little bit. I want to realize that my go-to on any given day, no matter how tough it gets, is I can go to the Word of God and I can pinpoint the thing that's going to give me the power and the strength to continue to do what God wants me to do. Amen? So think about that. So this litmus test is to accurately measure our spiritual development and ministry impact. That's what it'll do. And you're going to have these tests time and time again in life. You won't have them in the kingdom. Telling you that. You will not have a litmus test in the kingdom. This is what life is for now. We're going to be tested and we're going to be tried. In the kingdom, you won't be tested. You're going to be glorified. Just like Jesus was glorified, you're going to be in immortality. You're going to be in a new body. How many understand that? And it's going to be completely restored and renewed back to the original. And that's important for you to understand. The next thing, just preparing us to get to it, and I hope I can get to one or two verses today, is I had it listed as A, and this is B. Jesus calls his people to make it their primary life goal to walk in perfect obedience by seeking to walk in all the light that the Spirit gives them. Now, I want you to think about that. Now, Paul made reference to this. And that's why I'm okay. I take Paul, what he said in Ephesians, when he dealt with the apostles, he said, and he gave. I mean, remember that passage of Scripture. And he gave the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, pastor, teacher, for the perfecting of the saints, the working of the ministry. How many know the perfecting of the saints is an important word there, right? The work of the ministry, edifying of the body of Christ. How many has read that before? Till we come to the full knowledge of the fullness of Christ, that we be not more children tossed to and fro. How many remember reading that before? Well, I want you to notice this. Jesus calls his people to make it their primary life goal to walk in perfect obedience by seeking to walk in all the light that the Spirit gives them. How many want that? Pursuing this is not the same as attaining to it. Pursuing this is not the same as attaining it. How many want to attain it? How many want that, to attain it? In other words, you come to a position where, and you've done this before, I've watched you do it. There's been times in your life that there were some things that brought you down. And they don't alone bring you down. Because there's something you attained that gives you victory over what brought you down. Now, you're not pursuing victory anymore. You have victory. How many understand that? See, you can be in a war. You can be in a war and be fighting that war constantly. Then you can end that war by conquering the enemy that was against you. Then you attained it. That's your. Now you've accomplished that. You're not going back. We're not going to lay it back. We're not going to go back and lay that again. We've done that. You passed that. So you have victory over that. And that's what he talked about pursuit. Now, when you're in war, you're pursuing victory. But once you have victory, the war, you finished the war. You fought the battle, won it. Now you have attained it. Does that make sense to you? And this is important. How do you do that? You're going to do that when you read these scriptures. Now watch what the word says. Matthew 5:48. And I know we're going to bump up and come back, but I want you to see this because it's important. And I want you to, some of these I put in there, some of them we'll have to read. You shall be perfect. That's what he says. You shall be perfect. What does that mean? Walk in all the light you receive. You walk in all the light you receive. What did David say? David said, thy word. Thy, in Psalms 119, he said, well, I think it's verse 105, he says, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Your word, nothing, he didn't talk about nothing else. He wasn't talking about, well, Lord, you gave me strength one day and I beat a bear up. And you gave me strength one day and I took a lion down. You gave me strength one day and I beat a giant. He said, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. If I don't have your word, then I won't have victory nowhere. You can't attain it without the word. So the word comes forth, you hear the word, and then what do? We do what the word says. Not a hearer only, but a doer, and then you obtain it. So there's every person in this room, all people in all walks of life that are pursuing God, the live for the Lord, and abiding by God's rules, they're in a pursuit for something. Once you've conquered that, you've attained it, and that's what he's wanting us to do. Get that, man. I don't just want to be pursuing all my life. Well, I'm just trying to live right. I'm just trying to live right. You talk to somebody, well, man, I'm just trying to live right. I'm just trying to live right. You're still doing what you've been doing? Yeah, it's tough. I'm just trying to live right. How long have you been doing? 30 years. At some point, you got to attain something. Or you'll be pursuing all your life. Do you understand that? And the devil don't care if you're pursuing. Just tell you that. He don't care if you're pursuing. But he don't want you to attain. You know, you can say, well, I believe in the Constitution of God. That's pursuing. But do you live by the Constitution of God? That's attaining. You see what I'm saying? I've attained that. I realize that there's nothing else, and that's important. Very important. There's a lot of people that don't even consider the Constitution of the United States of America to be a legal document anymore. They don't. Not to mention, if they don't consider it legal, they definitely don't want to live by it. But then they want some of the benefits of it. We're all equal. Really? We don't mind the equal part. Give me what's mine, but I don't want to abide by none of the rules. And I think that's what people got in the kingdom mentality of God. We want everything God has to offer, but we don't want to abide by none of his rules. And so we don't mind pursuing the kingdom, but when you attain the kingdom, you have victory over the things that once brought you down. Amen? And this ought to help you understand these principles as we get ready to read this. So how many see how important it is? You shall be perfect. What does that mean? Walk in all the light you receive as your Father. We might need to go there. Should we? Should we turn to 548? Let's go there because I'm going to read it completely to you. That we'll see it. Therefore, you ought to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, that's a strong word. That's some strong words. That's what Jesus... How many know who said that? Who wants to take a guess of who said that? Now, he's talking to the crowd of people on the mount. He's on the mountain. They all gathered around. And he says, you shall be perfect as your Father is perfect. That is absolutely crazy to think that that's something possible. And isn't that crazy? I mean, you don't even mention that in church today. We can't even come close to being perfect like the Father. We're going to have to find some lesser thing. So what we do as human beings, we measure ourselves by each other. That's what we do, and that's what makes us feel good. We can feel good about ourselves. We just pick the worst guy in the crowd out, and we go, boy, I'm glad I ain't like him. That joker's a loser. I'm a champ, man, when it comes to him. I'm a champion. I'm a winner. Look at him. He can't even stand up straight. And we met. But when's the last time you measured yourself to God? The Father. When we done that last? When every time you do that, you know what it does? Makes you want to go pray. Every time you do that, makes you want to read your Bible. Every time you do that, makes you want to go to church. Every time you do that, makes you want to humble yourself. Like the man who came in and he wouldn't even lift his head up. And he said, God, I'm not even worthy to be here. And then the man on the side of him goes, that's a pitiful peasant. Look at that thing. I'm so righteous. Look at my clothes. I smell good. I look good. That was kind of a quote I'm taking from somebody. Anyway... Sometime I get lost. I got to get back. Let me get back. Okay, I'm back. Glory to God. So, which one did he receive? Which one's words were heard? The guy who stood there and said, you know, I've kept the law. I know it by heart. I pay my dues. I'm a part of the Sanhedrin organization. We're very popular in Jerusalem. This poor peasant, look at him. His shirt's torn. He's got dirty feet. And he won't even stand. Look at him. He's bowing down. But me, I stand proud in the house of God. And God says, I reject you. I reject you because you measure yourself by yourself. This man... he realizes he's a sinner, and he humbled himself before me. So I'm going to lift him up, but you I will abase. I want to be humble before God and realize I made so many mistakes in my life. And you measure yourself not by others, but by God. Listen, you shall be perfect. Walk in the light you received as your Father is perfect. That's a strong statement by Jesus. Very strong statement. And sometimes they're little nugget scriptures that just kind of get read over. They really do. They can kind of get read over because, man, that stuff is so powerful. How many has been challenged already this morning? I've been challenged since I started this study. I'm challenged, constantly challenged. I'm going, look at this. How many been challenged? Anybody's been challenged that you say, you know what, I got to do better here. And so we see this unfolding. It's very powerful. So let's see. We're going to see how far we can get here. Thank you, Lord. See, again, just laying out this overall look of it. We're going to go through some of it and back up and come back and look at it again. Jesus calls us to live out the what? How many? 8 Beatitudes, chapter 5, verse 3 through 12. You can go back and read that. We're not going to read them all. We may read them and come back and revisit them. Matter of fact, let's do it now. Thank you, Lord. Verse number 3. I have these slides, but you don't have to go to them. Okay? I'll just read it because it's going to take us out of sequence somewhat. Well, no, how many I got between them? Yeah, I mean, I got too many. I got too many between them. So we'll come back. Let's just read it. Everybody in your Bibles, Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. King James says meek there. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad. For your reward is in heaven. Your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So you can take some time and read that later. Jesus calls us to live out the 8 Beatitudes as we pursue 100-fold obedience. How much we got to pursue? 100-fold obedience. Where's that 100-fold obedience at? 548. Be perfect as. Who to measure ourselves to? As the Father. So if I measure myself to Jesus, would I be doing essentially the same thing? Exactly, because he says, I'm only doing what my Father's doing. What did Jesus do? He was perfect as his Father was perfect. Whatever his Father did, he did. So if I follow Jesus, essentially, I'm doing what the Father's doing because that's all he did. Does that make sense to everybody? He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, because I act just like him. Are you hearing me? Not only did he act like him, he spoke the words that the Father gave him. He said, these are not my words, but the Father gave me these words. It's incredible. Absolutely incredible. So the Beatitudes are like 8 beautiful flowers in the garden of our heart. That God wants to fully blossom. How many want that to happen in your life? How many's ever planted flowers? You plant flowers and the first thing comes up is not a flower. The green part comes up. And then a blossom comes out, right? And you'll see it, the beginnings of the flower. And then you watch and it's just the bud. And all of a sudden what happens? The bud opens up and you got the flower. But the flower didn't come up. And that's what happens in our life. It's not going to start out everything just right. We're pursuing, but then we attain. We come to an accomplishment. That's important. So this is important. They define love, godliness, spiritual maturity, and describe the kingdom lifestyle. Understand that. Because remember what we're talking about? The constitution of the what? The kingdom of God. That's what we're addressing. We're about to. With these words. I just read some of them to you, but that wasn't all of them, because how many know it goes into the salt of the earth? And we'll cover that in just a moment. But I want you to understand that we're addressing the constitution of the kingdom of God. And so this is why they define love, godliness, and spiritual maturity and describe the kingdom lifestyle. This is how we're going to act in the kingdom, what he expects of us. So right now, you can choose however you want to act. But in the kingdom, only those who act according to the constitution will be allowed in. I mean, he's still listening to me. Are you hearing me? Think about this. If you don't act according to the constitution of God, right now you can do whatever you want. You choose that. But in the kingdom of God, you will not be allowed to decide how you're going to live. You're going to have to follow those rules or you won't be in. Let me understand that. Right now, you choose to do whatever you want. You can do whatever you want. Anybody in this building can say, you know what, I've done the church thing. I'm not doing it no more. You can do that. You have all the freedom in the world. But in the kingdom of God, that only those who follow the Constitution of God will be allowed in the kingdom of God. And that's why we're here to practice. We're practicing. Some people, they can take their practice serious. When they do that and they're passionate about their practice in any kind of in industry, in the corporate world, in sports, anything, music, singing, anybody who takes it serious, if you line them up with a guy who just clowns around and don't take it serious, what happens? You can tell. You better tell. You can really tell. Now, you can have somebody who's more talented, but his conditioning all his talent in the world will not help him when his condition goes down. I'm not speaking the truth here. I'm speaking the truth. So we condition ourselves. And so God's not saying, well, I'm going to get the most talented in the kingdom. He's not talking about that. That's not the kind of God we serve. I'm only looking for the best, the elite. That's what the world's doing right now. They're trying to, listen, you got a mass genocide going on around the world. Nobody's woke up to it yet. It's crazy. A mass genocide going on. It's absolutely crazy what happens. And it's just the elite. That's all we want in this new world order. We want the best of the best. But that's not how God operates. He said, whosoever believeth in the Son shall not perish but have eternal life. I don't care if you're rich or poor, talented or not. If you just pursue God's kingdom and attain the things that Jesus said we can have, you're welcome in the kingdom of God. Isn't that amazing? And I'm so thankful. If he's looking for an elite, that would have left me out. I'm thankful that he's given me a chance to be a part of the kingdom. And the only reason I'm speaking the way I'm speaking to you and talking these things, because the Lord has given me a passion to pursue and attain. And I've attained. I'm not going to give it up. I'm not going to give up the wisdom, the understanding, and the knowledge that God has given me by his mercy and his grace. I'm going to keep pursuing him. And I can tell you that the Lord wants that. He wants that passion from you, and you'll see it unfold in your life. They define the love, the spiritual maturity, and describe the kingdom lifestyle. And implied in all of God's commands is the promise of enabling us to walk out his command. And that's what we see. It's not that he put all these hard things and we can't pursue them. D, eight flowers must be cultivated as we weed our garden. How many know your garden needs weeding? Anybody ever have a garden? We all don't mind going out. We start out wide open. Boy, I'm going to have me a garden. Woo! Woohoo! I'm going to have me a garden. I can't wait to have me a nice garden. Well, we get the till out, crank that thing up. Boy, and we going down. And you just out there think you're Farmer Brown, you know. Got a 10 by 10. I mean, we got one going big here. Right? Am I talking to anybody? You had a small garden. Maybe you had a big garden. Whatever it is. But here I've seen a lot of small ones. Let me just talk about me. Because I can tell already that I've been meddling since I started. So I'm just talking about me. I like talking about me. I told Charlotte, I'm going to do in the garden. We're going to have tomatoes. We're going to have cucumbers. We're going to have some stuff. She said, really? And she kind of gave me that little, okay. So I said, I'm going to do it. So I get out there, and I tore the ground up, got it going. So I got me some seed, and I got me some plants. I mean, you know, plants is cheating, but that's good. I'm glad we get to cheat every now and then. So I put the plants in, because it was already this high, you know. But I put seeds in, oh, boy, them seeds are coming up. I said, oh, they're coming up. Well, you know what? I didn't have much to do, because I already tore the ground up, and I de-weeded it, and nothing was happening. So I go out there, and there it was. It was good. Then everything come up and started growing. And boy, I seen the first tomatoes, but I seen weeds. And them weeds come, boy, they come. They don't play. They don't say, well, can we come? You know that? They don't ask. You know, you go to the door, but the doorbell rings and it's Mr. Weed. Hey, I'm coming to your garden. They don't ask. You go out there and you go, well, no, where? I didn't plant that. And you start de-weed and you figure out, man, does them tomatoes taste that good? You got them at Walmart without weeds. They don't even sell the weeds at Walmart. I mean, you just go get them, right? Am I telling the truth? And so then we The next, you'll be busy. We come in from fishing. Oh, I'm so out. And you go, by the God, I'm going to eat it tomorrow. And then the next day you're busy and you go, am I telling the truth about anybody else in here besides me? Then one day you go out to your shop and you go, honey, who put this jungle back here? I didn't plant it. I mean, you can't even find a tomato bush. They got weeds everywhere because it neglects. Now, it didn't start out that way. Listen, is that exactly what happens in life? It's every day. Now, let me tell you, if you'd have took the proper time. Now, I've seen gardens that were, I mean, it was just like there was not anything out of place. I go to Amish country, and I've witnessed this myself. And you see it happen. I mean, I hear them tell stories of how they'll go in at night and just take weeds and stick everywhere to play tricks on everybody because they know they done weeded that thing every single day. It ain't a blade out of place. I mean, it's great and it's beautiful. And I hear these guys, they'll say, man, we're going to pull weeds out the cow pasture and we stuck them in. And they get up the next morning, and them women are going, what in the world did happen? They're out there. And they know it was done on them because they know that every day they've been out there. So the enemy can come and say, you're this and you're that. And you're this, and they say, oh, no, I know what I've been doing. And it was just a little bit every day. How many believe that a little bit every day could have kept the garden from all the weeds? How many know that the weeds piled up over a period of time without attention? Right? Is that what happens? Am I telling the truth? That's exactly what happens in our life. The stuff comes on us without attention. Over a period of time without attention. It gets overwhelming. Then it looks like, oh, I can't take care of that. So what you do? You go out. You go to the shed. And you have a little talk with John Deere. You say, John, we're about to take care of this garden in one lick. You ready? And John don't even answer you. You get on. You crank that baby up. And there's bushes flying everywhere. And you think you done something. Guess what happened? You don't have no garden no more. You understand? Now, you got rid of the weeds, but you got no garden. And that's not the mentality we need to have serving God. If I'm the only guy in here that ever ran over his garden after he got too much weeds with a lawnmower, then nobody else raise your hand. I'm just going to keep mine up by myself. Nobody else in here ever ran over your garden with a lawnmower because there were too many weeds in it. I'm so glad that some people are honest and the rest of you are all liars. The 8 flowers must be cultivated as we weed our garden, right? By resisting what? 6 common temptations. Matthew 5:21. We're going to all revisit all of these, but we'll read them briefly. 21, you ready for this? You have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not commit murder. How many see that? How many with me? And whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court. But I say to you, that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court, and whoever says to his brother, you are good for nothing, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court, and whoever says, you fool, shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. This is just Jesus talking. Y'all can pay him mine or not. That's up to you. Maybe we don't need to pay him no mind, right? Because this is tough stuff here. This makes you have to do stuff, right? Check yourself. Therefore, if you are presenting your offering at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go first. When? Go first. Before reconcile your brother, and then come and present your offering. Because who you present an offering to? The pastor? No. Who you giving the offering to? To God. So God says, I'm not going to take your offering until you fix your offense. You can give it. Some people just say, well, I'm going to give it. Ain't nobody knows if I got an offense anyway. That's right. You're right. You're so right. You win the smart prize. God knows. You're not presenting it to me, and you're not doing it to anybody else. Who cares what they know? You're right. We don't care. If anybody else knows, God knows. Your offering is not to man, it's to God. And he says, leave it. Go fix it, and then come back and make your presentation. Is that what he says? Now, these are the temptations, because we're tempted with these. Because we'll say it right in the same service, well, I'm just going to go because it's my relationship between God. It's between me and God. It don't matter what anybody thinks. And that's true. Man, I tell you, you get the second smart prize. That's true. But you don't change this word. This is what he's telling. He's speaking directly to us. So this is what he says about presenting the offering. Leave it and do what God tells you to do. Now watch what he says in verse 25. Make friends. Make friends what? Quickly. Make friends quickly with your opponent at the law. While you are with him on the way, so that your opponent may not hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the officer, and you be thrown in prison. Truly I say to you, you shall not come out of there until you have paid up the last cent. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. Notice, if you have an NSAB, it'll capitalize those things. If you read at the beginning, it tells you why, because that's a quote from from the Old Testament. So they do that for your reference, so you know that's a quote. And Jesus is saying, you've heard it been said. Was he the first one to say it? No, it's been said before, that you should not commit adultery. But I say, it's a difference, right? Who's saying now? Who's saying? But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And we'll deal with that with lust. We're going to deal with lust when we get to that verse. We'll deal exactly with that. What does that mean? Looks at her with lust for her. Because, I mean, if you can't look at a woman, period, you don't, right? Yeah, you're going to. They're going to flash before you. They're going to walk in front of you. They're here. I've been looking at women since we started this message. You understand? But you'll understand what it means with lust for her. And every man in here knows what I'm talking about. I'm just going to give the definition for the women because they don't know. Okay? But the men know. But we'll get to that. But how many see where he's going with this? He commits adultery already in his heart. If your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out. Throw it from you. For it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for the whole body to be thrown into hell. If your right hand makes you stumble, cut it off and throw it from you. For it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. And I'll deal with that again. I don't want anybody to take that literal, right? You said people won't do that. There's been cases, many cases, not once or two, but many cases of people who took that scripture literal. Okay, and some of them I know about firsthand. It was said, whoever sends his wife away, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife except for reasons of unchastity makes her commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. We'll deal with that because a lot of you want to know. Again, you have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not make false vows, but shall fulfill your vows to the Lord, to Yahweh. But I say to you, make no oath at all. Notice that. So there's a difference. How many see there's a difference? If you make a vow in the Old Testament, he said, fulfill your vows to Yahweh. Jesus says, I tell you, is he contradicting Anything? No, he's showing you that we're talking about he's about to pay in full the price for the forgiveness of sin. And so we have a difference, a shifting in what's going to happen. And he's going to give us the opportunity by the Constitution to follow the procedures which keeps us ready for the kingdom of God. So he's talking about this oath. But I say to you, make no oath at all, either by heaven or by the throne of God. So I swear to God, right? How many has ever heard that? I swear to God. And there are some people, if you go to court, they'll say to you, they won't use the word I swear. I used to use the word. They used it exactly like that. Do you swear to God? You give the solemn oath, right? Now they change it up. They say, well, do you promise? That's a change. That's a real change right there. It's all the same, right? And that's why some people say, well, I can't do anything. I can't testify in court. And then some religions teach that. I can't testify in court because I can't promise. I can't make an oath. And this is what, and they take that verse and use that as their scriptural base, which is wrong. But we'll explain that when we get there. He says, by heaven or the throne of God or by earth, or for it is the footstool of his feet, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you make an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Right? And again, that's a literal statement. You cannot change your hair color, even though the ladies in here do it all the time. Not the men. I'm looking around. These guys in here, some don't have any to change, and the ones that have it are content. Right? But ladies, you can, right? And you have, and still are. Am I telling the truth in here? But this is what he's saying. He's not talking about literal. So some people say, well, you can't do that. He's not talking about, he's talking in reality, you can't. It is what it is, right? And that's what he's talking about. So these are how people go off and get all legalistic and they don't understand. But let your statements be yes, yes, right? Or no, no. Nothing beyond these is of evil. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. That'd be tough, right? If anyone wants to sue you, take your shirt and let him have your coat also. Whoever forces you to go in 1 mile, go with him two. Give to him who asks of you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemies. But I say to you, love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. So what do we become once we accomplish that? Sons of your Father in heaven. So in the kingdom of God, what are we going to be considered? Now we are sons in part now by faith. Remember that. Now we see through a glass, darkly or dimly. Is it a reality yet? When is the salvation completely done? At the resurrection, it's completed. Completely done. Because then you're stepping into that. And then what are you? Sons. So I got to follow this constitutional rules. Is anybody getting this? So you'll see that. And we're going to, as soon as I read this, we're going to have to come to a close here. We got a couple more verses. You'll be sons of your Father in heaven, for he caused his Son to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? So he considers tax collectors here not those who are potential kingdom people. He divides them up here, right? You see that. Now, that doesn't mean they can't come. He just tells them in their condition, state they're in now, they're in trouble. Don't be like that. And so if you greet only your brother, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? And again, Gentiles, I talked about that on Thursday. That's not
for us to say, that means foreigners. The word means foreigners, all foreigners, other than the Jews. They call it considered Gentiles. Therefore, you are to be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. So, again, that covers the six temptations that we'll look at. We're going to look at each one of them. They're common temptations as we water our garden by pursuing five kingdom activities. And then we're going to see that in Matthew 6, 1 through 20. And we'll deal with that. But you can go home and read that for yourself. We're going to pursue five kingdom activities as we go through the things Jesus said. How many see that this was a long message? This was not a short message. So, and if I'm having to explain it, it's going to be even longer. So I hope that today gave you kind of a, and I couldn't finish it. I'll finish it next Sunday, and we'll go in maybe to read the first one, Blessed are the Poor in Spirit. We'll look at the first one. I'll break each one of them down and give you some understanding and maybe some other scripture reference to each one of them. But I hope today you looked at the summary of what this entails and what Jesus spoke here. It was absolutely incredible. And I hope that the analogies that we was able to share with you, by no stretch would I take credit for those analogies if it wouldn't have been for the Spirit giving them to me as I was speaking. And we talked about that on Thursday. What is the Spirit going to do when you get up to speak? He's going to give you the words in the self-same hour. How many trust God? You got to trust Him. So I didn't have none of that down, didn't think of none of those things prior to me coming here. This is just stuff that the Spirit of the Lord wants. And He wants to do that for each one of you every day. He'll do the same thing. But you got to get an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. That's all you got to do. Say, Lord, I want an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. And so I hope that this helped you, challenged you, is pushing you in a direction that you want to pursue the things of God, because this is the things that God wants for us. Amen. Let's stand. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity you've given us to come and just worship you. We thank you, Lord, for the people that are here today. I pray, Lord, that you would bless them supernaturally, God, by your word as it comes forth in our life and it brings reality to us, our understanding. We begin to increase in your word. God, as we pursue your word, we begin to live it out according to what you declare. God, help us to see that this message that Jesus is preaching here on this mountain is going to describe the constitution of the kingdom, your kingdom. And we want to make sure that we're living by those rules and those procedures. God, so we ask that you'd open up our understanding that we can grab hold to it with everything that's in us, that we see it clearly and we do what you want us to do. I pray for each person that's here. God, every prayer request that was made known, those that need a touch in their body, God, we thank you for your healing power. We thank you, Lord, that you're so good to us. And I just ask you, Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, your only begotten, our Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, our incredible Lord and Savior, the one that has given his life for all of us. We thank you and we give you praise and honor and glory. And we ask you, as we go from this place, as we continue to open up our understanding, we'll continue to pursue what you want us to pursue. We give you glory for it. We honor you and we thank you. So we pray, Lord, right now that every word that was spoken today, God, everything that needs to stay with us, those things that were spoken, that it wasn't necessary, didn't need to happen, God, we pray that they have no root and take no place in anybody's life. God, we never ever want to sow a seed that will cause somebody to stumble. So we ask you, Father, that would be removed. It would never take root, never grow. If there was anything said, God, that would cause anyone here to stumble. But God, those that things that were said, directed by your Spirit, we pray they take root, be sown on good ground and bring forth fruit in the person's life, that they can continue to grow and become that which you've called us to be. And Lord, we want to do what you said in your word. In 5:48, we want to be perfect as our Father is. If Jesus said we have to pursue that, then we definitely want to. But not only are we pursuing that, we want to attain that. And God, every time we attain, we want to give you praise, honor, and glory for that what we have attained, so we can grow and grow strong in you. We love you, Lord. Thank you for each person here. We give you all the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. What a great God. Don't forget tonight's service. We're going to continue. Same series. We're going to be talking about the next part that we left off from. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.